Noach. These are the children of Noach. Noach is Sadik Tamam Hayav Zayraisov. Noach was a complete Sadik in his generations. Esra Lekim is Halach Noach. With Hashem, Noach walked. So on this, Ela told us Noach, Noach is Sadik Tamam Hayav Zayraisov. Rashi brings down a Machlokes in Chazal. How to darshan b'dayroisav? Yeshmer Rabbi Yisainu darshma Yisrael lo shevach. There are those of the Chachamim that darshan it for Noach's praise. He was a tumim in his generation. Kol shekein kishi lo hayu b'dar tzadikim hayu tzadik yaisav. Kol shekein. If he would have been in a generation of tzadikim, he would have been a greater tzadik. V'yesh darshan Yisrael lignai. There are those that darshan it lignai. Lefi Dairi Hoya Tzadik, he was only a Tzadik Lefi his generation. The Iluhoya Bidairi Shal Avraham, if he would have been in the generation of Avraham, Lehoya Nechshav Likum. Now the Mepharshim speak out, I'm safer with other Mepharshim say, that factually there is no Machlokes over here between the two brothers. Everybody agrees that had Noach lived in the generation of Avraham Avinu, he wouldn't have been anything. He wouldn't have been considered kosher. And everybody also agrees that had Noach lived in a generation of Tzadikim, he would have been greater than what he was right now. Those two facts are not in theory to each other. The Machlokes is, which one of these two facts did the Torah want to bring out when it said B'day Reza? Does it mean to tell me B'day Reza, he was a Tzadik over here, Koshkin, he would have been a Tzadik in a different generation? Or does it mean to tell me in the generation of Avraham Avinu he wouldn't have been considered kosher? Now, there's a question that's asked over here by the Mephoshim that I'd like to illustrate with a Maisa. Mrs. Alman notes is that Chetzavik B'Kodesh L'Rach was Yadua, not only is a Goin Adir, but is a Tzavik Yisrael Eilun. His Midas were impeccable. Not only were his Midas impeccable, but he used to hide his Tzidkis. He did things that nobody really understood what they were, except for one person. His nephew, who was a Talmud Muvik of his, Rav David Finkel, said, Chetzadik Levracha, was a close Talmud of his, and he understood that his uncle tried hiding his Tzidkis, and he always tried questioning his uncle why he did this and why he did that. He also had a very good sense of humor to get it out of his uncle. So one time on Chol HaMoed, Rav Zalman says, David, you have a pen? A pen? On Chol HaMoed? A pen? I know that the uncle doesn't write on Chol HaMoed. No, please, please, it's an emergency. I need a pen. It's an emergency? What's wrong? Maybe I can help? No, no, please, please. It's not. It's Pikuach Nefesh. Please get me a pen. Pikuach Nefesh? I said, I call that Solomon. What's this? He understood there was something here. And he understood Rav Zalman was trying to hide it. So Rav Zalman told him, please, Tumah Toiv, he says, Chol HaMoed, people come and visit me from all over. Some people come to ask Eitzes, some people come to for Brachas, some people come to speak and learning. And I have a very big chesaron that I'm able to look at people and right away tell their milas and their chesaronis. And it hurts me. He says, why should I see a person's chesaron? Well, we have to see somebody else's deficiencies. So I want to write a posik and keep it in front of me. A necho l'noichach yabitu. When your eyes are looking opposite to somebody else, af apecha yashiru negdecha. Focus your eyelids on yourself. Look at your regular chesroinus. Don't look at somebody else's chesroinus. That was the pikuach nefesh that he was talking about. To him, it's pikuach nefesh to have to see somebody else's chesroinus. Shalom Shadron once told over this maisi. He heard it from Rav David Finkel. So he once told it over to an einikel of Rav Zalman. So they said, wait, we want to show you something. And they went into the kitchen. They brought out a flower pot with this posik taped on the flower pot. That was the flower pot that they used to keep on Rav Zalman's table. And the posik was still there. So if Rav Zalman had this hanhoge, of not wanting to look at people's chesroinus, then Kal Vachomer Chazal had that hanhoge. So why over here, if it's possible to darshan it for good, that Kol Shekein, if he would have been in the door of Tzadikim, he would have been greater. Why should anybody want to darshan it l'ra? Not a rabbi, you don't want to look at a person's chesroinus, you want to look at a person's ma'alos. The Teretz is, if you look throughout the psukim over here, from the Torah, it's mukhak that the Torah is trying to point out his chesroinus. Right away afterwards, it says, Eso elakim is halach layach. Oh, that was not the same madregas by Avraham Avinu. Layach needed HaKadosh Baruch Hu to walk right next to him, to hold his hand. By Avraham Avinu, it says, his halach lefanai behayei samim, that Avraham Avinu, he walked before Hashem. He didn't need Hashem. He generated mitzvahs from himself. He didn't need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to hold his hand. So you see that the Torah again points out a chesaron and kelapi Avraham Avinu. Later on, it says that Noach went into the teva mipnei mei hamavu, because of the water of the mavu. So Rashi, that Noach was a mamon ve'ein a mamon. He wasn't a complete mamon. He believed that the water would come, but not completely. He only ran into the teva when the water was mamish gushing. I have Rav Avinu, it says, V'hemen v'ashama yachshvel v'itzadok HaKadosh Baruch Hu, praised the emun of Avraham Avinu. Noach did not have the emun of Avraham Avinu. Again, the Torah points it out. Vayter, after the mice of the Mabul, when Noach got shikr and he was uncovered, again you see a chesaron in Noach. So you see that the Torah really points out his chesaronus. Why does the Torah go out of its way? Of course, it doesn't say out in the open, but it's meramis to the chesroinus of Noach. Why is this necessary? So I once mentioned the Yisoid here a couple of years ago, and I'd like to say it over again, because it's not only a terrace to this kasha, it's a Yisoid in how to learn Gan Sefer Bereishis. If I were to ask you a question, what is the central theme of Sefer Bereishis? So the obvious thing is, the creation of the world. Yeah, but that can't be, because the creation of the world was the first two kapitlach of the first parasha. That's where it ends, right? Oh, it talks about tzaddikim, it also talks about Rishon, it talks about the Avos, but it talks about other things. What is the central theme of Sefer Bereishis? So for that we have to look into Chazal. Chazal called Sefer Bereishis Sefer HaYitzira, the Sefer of creation, which, again, you have the kasha, what do you mean? Most of Bereishis does not deal with the creation. Chazal also called Sefer Bereishis Sefer HaYosher, the Sefer of the Straight. What does that mean? So I once heard from Rav Avigdor Miller Zatzal. He asked the question. The first Rashi, the Chumash, says Bereishis Bishvil Yisrael Shenikra Reishis. The world was created for the sake of Yisrael. That's called Reishis. So he said, that's not fair. The guy had a tie right off the bat. If you created the world only for Klal Yisrael, so we didn't stand a chance to begin with. So why could there be times on Goyim? And how do you play favorites with Klal Yisrael? And you just cast us aside from the very beginning? So I think the Miller said that the word Yisrael could have included anybody in the entire world. It's like a blank check. Anybody could have been Yisrael. Could have been anybody. But by the actions of people, they were the ones that determined, and by their good actions and by their bad actions, they determined who Klal Yisrael will be. And that's the theme, the central theme of Sefer Bereishis. Starts from the beginning. Adam Harishon had three sons, Cain, Hevel, and Chase. Cain was the first murderer. With his actions, he fell by the wayside. Hevel, for whatever reason it was, he wasn't Zeiche to be the chosen one from which Klal Yisrael would come. Chase, by his actions, he was chosen as the one from which eventually Klal Yisrael would come. Then the Torah goes on fast forward. Chase gave birth to this one gave birth to that one, this one gave birth to that one, Vaita, Vaita, Vaita. Does not talk about those generations at all. They weren't chashuv. They were sifted away by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Nothing great would come of them. V'noyach motzah chen da'enei Hashem. The end of Sefer Parshas Bereishis, Noach is the one, he was the chosen one. By his actions, it was determined Klal Yisrael would come from him. And then the spotlight focuses on Noach. Eilu told us Noach, a full parsha is devoted to Noach. After the Mabul, again you have the same thing. First of all, Noach had three sons, Eshem, Eschom, and Eshyofes. By their actions, it was decided from whom Klal Yisrael would come. Chom, he did the Aveira number one. He lived with his wife in the Teva when he wasn't supposed to. Later on, he acted in a Nasnizdik way to his father. He didn't cover him. He was designated for Africa, where the Africans live out Hayom Hazeh. Shem and Yefes, by the way they acted to their father, Shem initiated the action of covering up Noach. Yefes was just a tag along. There it was decided that Shem was the chosen one. Klal Yisrael would come from him. Out of Shem's descendants, at the end of Parshas Noach, again the Torah goes on fast forward. Shem gave birth to this one, this one gave birth to that one, this one gave birth to that one, bite. Doesn't spend any time in any of them. They were sifted aside. Avraham Avinu is the chosen one, and then the spotlight focuses on the main actor. Well, not an actor, he was the real thing. Lech Lecho, Vayera, Chayisara, all focuses on Avraham Avinu. He is the main personage of the world. From him, Klal Yisrael will come. Still not yet determined. Avraham Avinu, he had Yishmael, he had Yitzchak, he had the Bnei Pilachim, other sons from Hagar. So who's Klal Yisrael going to come from? By their actions, it was decided Yishmael was an Eved Avodah Zarah. He was a Baal Taiva, the Bnei Apilachim. They came from a different sort of stock. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ki bi Yitzchak yikara lecho Zarah. So at the end of Chayisara, when it speaks about the other progeny of Avraham Avinu, speaks about them rather quickly, davens them up. The Eile Toilu is Yitzchak ben Avraham, Avraham Toilu is Yitzchak, and it focuses on Yitzchak Avinu. The spotlight focuses on the main character in Sefer Bereishis, from whom Klal Yisrael will come. And then you have the Maaser of Yaakov and Esav, and then you have the Maaser with Yaakov Avinu in his fight against the Sar Shal Esav, and that's when it was decided who Yisrael will be. Well, Yaakov Yikara Echimcha Kiim Yisrael. That's when the Sar Shal Esav is masking. Who is Yisrael? And that's the Tachlis of the Sefer? That's Yaakov Avinu. And later on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him the exact same thing. This is the main central theme of Sefer Bereishis. That is why it's called Sefer HaYetzira. Not only the creation of the world, but the creation of the main characters of the world, and that is Klal Yisrael. How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu come to decide who Klal Yisrael was? And it's also called Sefer HaYoshar. Who remains straight in the path? Yisrael, the Svarim say, is Yoshar Kel. Who are the straight ones in the path of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And how is it decided who became that? The whole history of Sefer Bereishis leads on to that path. Took thousands of years until HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally sifted through all of the different elements, all of the different peoples, and he concluded that this is Klal Yisrael. This is the central theme of Sefer Bereishis. Now, I heard this from Rav Avigdor Miller, but in essence, it's really a Rashi. In the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev, Rashi says it's Kemat Befeirish. He says, whenever you find that the Torah goes on fast forward, and then it focuses its spotlight on the main one, what is it doing to someone that lost a diamond in the sand? So he sifts away the sand, and when he finds his diamond, he picks it up, and he discards everything else. He says, that's what Sefer Bereishis is. He says, the generations go on fast forward, they were sifted away, oh, I found my ikar, and now we move on. And then more sifting is done. And more sifting is done. This is what Sefer Bereishis is. That's a major yesod in how to understand the tachlis of Sefer Bereishis. The other Sfarim also, the Mepharshim speak about the different central theme about Sefer Shemayis, Sefer Vayikra, etc. But this is the central theme of Sefer Bereishis. So what does that got to do with the horror that we said about Noach? Because the Torah is answering a major question over here. If Noach was the chosen one, and Noach was the one that saved the world, why are we not miyuchas to Noach? Why isn't Klal Yisrael Hashem Noach? We are miyuchas to Avraham Avinu. This is why the Torah is merames. If the Torah is telling us how Klal Yisrael was formed, it also has to tell us that although Noach was a chosen one, but there was a little bit of Tzilus over there. Right? He wasn't the complete tzaddik. If he would have been in the generation of Avraham, he would not have been considered kosher. Yes, he did have certain chesroides and emuna. Yes, he did have a shortcoming after the mice of the model. So Hagami was the chosen one in his time. Aval Pikein, to say that Klal Yisrael comes from Noach, Klal Yisrael had to come from Avraham Avinu. That is what the Torah is answering for us over here. Normally you don't want to find chesroides in people, but if Sefer Bereishis is to tell us how we were formed, then Manela has to be Maranis, why the beginning is from Avraham Avinu, and why it does not come from Noach. Major Yisoid, and a nice teretz over here on Rashi. What about the other part of the Limut? The other mandamah that says that L'shevach, for praise. He was a tzaddik in his generations. Kavachomer, had he been in different generations, he would have been great. What's the purpose of telling us that? The Svarim bring that is coming to teach us a lesson. That a person is created according to the generation in which he's in. But had he lived in a generation of tzaddikim where the sviva was more b'kedusha, where there was more of a hashpah of ruchnias, he could have been a lot greater. And that has a practical lesson for us, that when we live in a generation where things are not the way they're supposed to be, then you have to realize that we can't be influenced by that generation. We have to look at other generations. I always say over from the Skelena, behind the Skelena Rebbe, who says, how could I begin to even think I'll be like my father? My father sat in jail for the Mesiras Nefesh that he had in Russia for bringing Torah to how many families? He actually got beaten up. How do you mean I'm going to be like my father? But the Torah says it doesn't say a person's mechuyev to say, I should be like my father. I at least have to aim for touching the feet of my father. If I aim for touching the feet of my father, I might not reach his madrega, but I'll still be much higher than my generation. We have to look back at the generations. We have to hear about the madregas of the previous generations, and not to settle, well, no, everybody else is doing it, I'm no worse than everybody else. A person is mushve by a generation with Torah all around. And if we see that today's generation is mishuket in Tigris and Yetzirah, we can't just say, well, I'm no worse than everybody else. I have to look at the previous generations and see what they were. And even though I can't reach the madrega of a Chofetz Chaim, but learning from his way of life, we can at least better our essence in certain halachim, in certain ways. That's what it's telling us over here. A person, he lives with his generation, he has to aim for something greater, he has to aim for something higher. I saw a beautiful vort. Vayoyled Noach Shloisha Banim Es Shem, Es Chom, the Es Yofes. Each one carries its own S. Could it say Parshat Vayoyled Noach Shloisha Banim Shem, Chom, the Yofes? Es Shem, Es Chom, the Es Yofes. Later on, when it says that Noach came into the Teva, it says Noach came with his sons Shem, Chom, the Yofes. There's no S's over there. So why over here does it say differently than it says over there without the S? The simple shot, I believe, is because over here it's telling us that Noach gave birth to three different pillars of society. These were the three different pillars upon which the world was built. Shem, that represented spirituality. Es Shem, he was Kriveya, a Mahalach of his own. Es Chom, who was immoral, he had his egg in a Mahalach. And Yefes, he was an aristocratic kind of a person. He was a person that was involved in conquering lands and such. They spread out to different parts. Shem was mainly in Asia, near in the Middle East. Chom was in Africa. Yefes spread out to Europe. They had three different Mahalachim, so it separated them. Later on, by going to the table, it happens to mention the three together. It doesn't have to say Es. That's what I think the simple shot is. I saw a beautiful vort from a Rav in Mexico. His name is Rav Moshe Kamen. He's a Rav in Monterrey, Mexico. I saw a vort that he brought down. Alpia Maisa Shahoya. He says there was a Malamed that lived in Poland. His name was Rav Nachman. A Muslim, a Malamed, a Yidat Tzadik. And after numerous years, he and his wife were zeichet to two sons. They brought him up with tremendous love. And Mamash, they gave him everything. And there was one major chassar with these two boys. For the life of them, they could not get along with each other. They fought like cats and dogs, to the extent that Mamash, it caused terrible strife for the parents. It was terrible agnus nefesh. And after trying with them, and trying with them, and trying with them, nothing worked. So they were given an age to send them away far away. You have relatives in America. They'll be in a strange place. Maybe that will tone them down a little bit. They'll become a little bit more settled. There, it's not going to pass for them to fight. Bal Kochach Rav Nachman, his wife, they decided they were old enough to go away. He sent them away to relatives in America. And after about a year, they came to America to visit their sons. Happens to be they weren't in the house at the time. So they asked the cousins, how are my sons doing? How's everything? She says, in the beginning it was very tough. Very, very tough. They were fighting with Mamash. But then, Mamash, everything settled down. Now they get along just fine. She says, You mean it? Like, to what do you attribute the sudden change, the sudden transition, rather? So they said, jail.
Jail?
What do you mean jail? Yeah, they're in jail together. And over there, everything is working out. I mean, they're in jail. So yeah, they committed a robbery together. They were put in jail. And in jail, they're suffering together. They're not getting much to eat. You know, they're not having cover. So in Tzara, they're both getting along. They're helping each other out. He says, people, when they're in a time of Tzara, although they might be fighting at other times when things are good, but Tzara has a way of bringing people together. So he says, that's the pshat over here. In the beginning, before the table, before the Tzara of the Mabul, es shem, es chom, es yotes, they were lacking in achdus. But once the Mabul came, and they were in there at the table, it was not a pleasant thing at the table. They had to work very hard. Over there was tremendous achdus. Over there, the es became bottle, the separation became bottle. It was shem, chom, and yotes altogether. I heard a very terrible quote. I read a very terrible quote a couple of years ago. I was reading about life during World War II. So a chofshi, not from the Yid, said, before we came to the concentration camp, we were always fighting. The Zionists were fighting with the communists, and the communists were fighting with the from the Yid, and the Chassidim were fighting with this one, and they were fighting with that one. We came to the concentration camp, we were all ba'achdus. So I was thinking to myself in the concentration camp, he says, why did we have to wait to come here to all get along? Why couldn't we all get along before we came here? And that's a lima that perhaps we have to take. It's an eisvart. I don't think it's the simple pshat, but it's an eisvart. That is, we shouldn't have to wait for times of tzara to have to live ba'achdus then. You know, we have to appreciate life in times of peace, and that not people are different from each other. As Chazal say, Kishen Shein Parsufehen Shavais, the same way no people, two people look exactly alike, Kach Ein Deir Sein Shavais, just because people don't agree with each other in Shita. And even if you hold that the other guy, Mamish, is wrong, halacha. You know, the Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, it's amazing when you think about it. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, they argue in very chumriyazdik inyonim, in Masechtas Yevamos, they argue in the chiyuv of Koras, that according to Beis Hillel, a tzoras erva, somebody marries a tzoras erva, he's chayav Koras, and Beis Shammai says, no, Adrab, it's a mitzvah to marry a tzoras erva. Which means that according to Beis Shammai, that it's a mitzvah. He holds it's a mitzvah, and Beis Hillel holds that if you do what Beis Shammai does, you're chayav koras and the kids are mamzerim. And that's unbelievable. Can you imagine if something like that would happen today, if two different factions, one held that the other's kids are mamzerim? Can you imagine the havoc that would go on today? The newspaper articles with the kolkayres, with the demonstrations that would be going on against each other. Yet the Gemara says in the Sechtes Yevamos that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, they intermarried with one another. They kept a record of whoever, you know, married in such a situation, they stayed away from that. But the two kiddos intermarried with one another. Today, that would be like unheard of. It would be mocking courses today. Right? So that's a lima that we have to take from over here, that even if you disagree with someone in Shita, it should not be something that becomes personal. We disagree in Shita. You know, we shouldn't have to chas v'sholom wait to when times are not the way they should be, and only then we should get along. The pasuk says, "Vishnas sheshmei yishon l'chayin noyach b'chodesh hasheni b'shiva osur yom l'chodesh b'yom hazeh nivku komayon yistohim rabo v'arubos hashamayim divtochu." Springs from underneath, they opened up, and the windows of Shemayim opened up. That means it started coming out water from down below, sulfur water, hot water, and also they came up from up above. So Rashi points out, Nivku Komayonois Tahim Rabba, of the great depths. What does it mean, the great depths of Rashi? It's a Mida Keneged Mida. Heim Chotu. They did Averis in a way that great was the wickedness of man. He smote them with Tahim Rabba, with the great depths. Now this is a very strange Rashi, because the word Rabba is not an object, it's not a noun, it's an adjective. They did great Averis, they were punished with great deaths. It could have been great anything, you know. They did great Averis. Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu punish them with great animals? Where's the Mida Kineged Mida over here? They were over on great Averis. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished them with the great deaths. I don't see a Mida Kineged Mida over there. So I once heard a Maria de Kipshat. When Adam is created, he's a breed of Shamayim and Oretz. We have in us a taste of heaven. We have the Neshama within us. We also have, most of us, most of our body is made out of Adam. And this is the constant struggle within the person, the tug of war between Guf and Neshama. The Neshama wants to pull him up heaven, you know, heavenward. He should be Isaac and Ruchnias. And the Guf pulls him downwards to the Taivis to sink to lows of Gashmias and to take him away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And of course, we were given a Kayach HaSeichel to pull us upwards and to get closer to Hashem when the Guf is trying to pull us downwards. The Dor HaMabul, they allowed themselves to sink to such a low that the depths of the Oretz pulled them to the lowest of the lowest of the low. That's the Mida Kineged Mida. Heim Chotu B'Rabba Ro'as Ha'odam. By being Chote with great Averis, they allowed the earth to pull them downward. They allowed the Chelek Ha'adama within their group to pull them to the depths. That is exactly where the Hashkosa came from. The Mele of the Tahayim Rabba, the great depths of the earth, that was Gufu, the place that came to break them. That's the Mida Kineged Mida. Not just that this is great and this is great. There's an akuda over here. By sinking to the worst Averis, the earth pulled them down from that very place that they allowed themselves to sink to. That is where the Hashkosa came from, the Rabba, the Tahayim Rabba, to offset the Rabba Rois Ha'adam. There's an Iflu Diketagim Yonison Ben Uziel over here. Pacha Diketagim Yonison Ben Uziel. The Targum Yonison Ben Uziel says that when the Giboyrim of that generation, they saw the springs opening up from down below, they took their children to stuff up the holes from which the water was coming from. They killed their children to stuff up those holes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, oh, so you think you're going to get away from it all? That's when it says, V'arubais HaShamayim Niftachu. You thought they were going to be able to get away with it by putting your children as stoppers, stopping these things from coming up? And I'll show you, you have no kayach whatsoever. The Arubais HaShamayim, they opened up. I once heard a machshava on this Targum Yonison Ben Uziel. Let's think to ourselves. These people were willing to kill their children to avoid the terrible calamity. They could have done a very simple thing. They could have done tshuva. They could have avoided killing their children, but they weren't willing to do that. They weren't willing to change their lives one bit. They'll be willing to kill their children to stuff up those holes down there, but they're not willing to change one little bit. I was thinking to myself that, you know, we study the history of World War II, and everybody asks the question, and I think it's in a way, a nonsensical question. Why is it that the people didn't run away from Europe? Why didn't they run away? You know, they saw that things are coming. They saw things happening. And the truth is, we can't even begin to ask such a question. Because living 50, 60, 70 years later, here in comfortable America, you know, and to ask, why didn't they run away when we don't know the situation of the cloud? And the simple answer is, because when people live in a place and they've been living there for who knows how many years and their families are here and their parnos is here, it's not so easy to just pick yourself up and go away to a place, especially since there wasn't that much opportunity to run away. My Rosh Yeshiva's Rebbetzin, or Pesach Stein's Rebbetzin, once told us that in Telz in Lithuania, you know, when the war had already started, there was a fellow that came into Telz and he started screaming away, Ron, Leitz, he's telling them how they're shechting out and getting a few towns away. People are being killed left and right. They thought that he was a meshugah. People ran away from him. They totally ignored him. She said that her father, who was one of the rabbanim in Telz, he called him to his side and he asked them what, when, who, and even he couldn't believe him completely. When you're in your own Dalet Amos, in your regular routine, it's very hard to make a change, and it's very hard to even believe that such things are happening. So Kal V'Chaim, Ben Benoishel Kal V'Chaim, when a person is set in his ways, he has his way of life,
He's busy with his chatoyim. He's not willing to change. Not willing to change. They were not willing to change. They were willing to stuff up the holes with their children, but they were not willing to change their way of life. And that's the extent to which they went. They would rather stuff up the hole and try and avoid the consequences that way than have to change even one iota to do even one iota of tshuva. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.
You want to meet now?
What
are you on?
I'm behind.